That's great, eh? Appreciate that, Deb and the Missions Committee, for challenging us. And if you, of course, are giving more than $40 a month already, we want you to continue to do that, and we're going to see amazing things. I really think 20 families, $40 a month, boy, we can blow the roof off. So we can do a lot more than we even dream or imagine this year. So thanks for your support for missions, and thanks for continuing to bless the Lord that way. You know, it's great to sing about God's love this morning and reflect on God's love towards us. Sometimes I think it's important that we just stop everything and think about that, you know, what God has done. We know that Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39 kind of give us a direction in life. It says, Jesus says to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." So that's our ability to give to God the love and affection and desire of life because of who he is. And it says the greatest and foremost commandment is that, but the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So these commandments, these two commandments, are really our life and our faith journey, and that we are called in our lives as we grow to grow in these things, to grow in how to love God more, and to grow in how to love each other more, to love people more. You see, John 13, 34, 35, Jesus said this to the disciples and to the people gathered. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another." So really what Jesus was saying is, you know, I've loved you. I have loved you. And what I'm asking is that because I've loved you, would you in return love one another? And when people look at this, people that don't know me, when they look and see the love that you have for one another, they're going to know that you belong to me. And that's a powerful statement as to why we would want to love one another and have that connection with each other growing in our lives. John 15, 17, Jesus said this I command you, that you love one another. So this is something important to God, that as he has loved us, that we would love one another. 1 John 4, 7 to 12 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." You see, as we love each other, we know that we are displaying that we love God and we know him. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Let's just pause there for a moment. God is love. It's who he is. And by this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. You see, that's the relationship. God loved us, so we love him, but we love one another because God's love is in our lives and in our hearts, and we've understood and recognized that love that God has. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, you know, the first three verses tell us that if we can speak with the tongues of men and angels but don't have love, we're like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. You know, we could have the gift of prophecies. We could know all knowledge and understanding. We could have all faith so that we could actually remove mountains. But if we don't have love, we've got nothing. You see, God is love, and we need love in our lives. We need his love, and we need to love him in return, and we need to love one another. You see, love is patient and kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It doesn't act unbecomingly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked, doesn't take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. You see, these are the attributes that we're growing in our lives, these displays of love, these actions of love in our lives for God and for one another, growing and building in us. You see, as believers, as those that have embraced God's love and mercy at the cross, we are called to a higher standard than what the world would even give. We are called to be over the top when it comes to forgiveness and not being jealous and not having our own way, but wanting the best for others. We have a higher standard that God has called us because he is love. And by getting to know him, we understand and grow and learn what love is for one another. You know, the bottom line is 1 John 4:19. It says this, we love because he first loved us. That's why we love, because God loves us. You know, 1 John 4:16, let's just turn and get your communion emblems ready at this moment, because it's just a moment to express, you know, the fact that we understand that God loves us and we want to love him this morning with this act of communion. 1 John 4:16, we have come to know and have believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We have come to know and believe that the love that God has for us. And could I ask you as an individual this morning, and I ask myself the same question, do I understand and know the depths of the love that God has for me? Have I grasped that? Have I understood that God loves me? Regardless of my sin and my weaknesses and my frailties and my uniqueness, God loves me. And have I understood that? And do I know that this morning? And do I understand that God is love and that he abides in me and that I know him because of his love for me? Romans 5:8 says this about God's love for you and for me. God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a powerful statement. If there was ever a picture of how you could know that God loves you, is that Jesus came to this earth and died on that cross and took your punishment for sin upon himself. He suffered and died for you, and that's how he demonstrated that he loved you, and you can't take that away. No matter how you feel or when you're up or down or you're being depressed and you feel like God is not there and he's way far away, regardless of all of that, we understand that God gave us that demonstration so we could always go back to the cross and see and know that God loves me no matter what. Regardless of how I feel, regardless if I've been up and down or unfaithful, I can return to God because God demonstrated once and for all that he loves me and demonstrated it on the cross. That word demonstrate means to stand near and to establish. You know, God came down to earth to stand near to us, and he established our faith and our love and our forgiveness in that time. It's not like that demonstration I got one time in Williams Lake when, you know, our carpet in the living room needed some shampooing, and a guy called and said, can we give you a demonstration for a vacuum and, you know, shampooer? We'll be half an hour, we'll be in and out, we'll do your whole living room, you know, rug. I thought, this is great, someone's going to do my rug, and I won't have to do it. And half an hour, I can handle that on a Saturday. So the guy came in and began to demonstrate the vacuum, and you know how they do it. They take this big plot of dirt and throw it on the living room floor, and then they start to show a little bit of the vacuuming, and the shampooer thing comes out a little bit, and then he starts to do his sales pitch, and it goes on and 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 on. And I'm not kidding. It goes on and on and on. After 3 hours, the rug hadn't been done, and he was telling me that, you know, if I loved my wife, I would get this vacuum and shampooer for her. Well, that was the wrong thing to say. And I lost it. And I basically had to tell him I was going to call the police. And I literally had to pick up the phone to dial in order to get him out of my house. And when he finally left, after about 3.5 hours, you know, the carpet wasn't done. Woe's on me, eh? But that's not the demonstration. You see, God said, I love you. And God's demonstration will never fail us or leave us wanting more or have an incompleteness to it, because God loved you so much, so completely, that he died on the cross for your sin and your punishment and your shame and your guilt and your weakness and your sin. That's who God is, and he loves you, and he demonstrated it perfectly. You can see clearly on the cross what was done for you and for God's love to be demonstrated in truth. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that one would lay down his life for his friends. God called you his friend. Think about that for a second. God called you his friend. Wow. We take the bread this morning. Folks, God loved us so much, he loved you, that his body was broken, and the whips and the punishment and the agony and the distress on the cross as he hung there and was fighting for his breath. Every breath, every bruise, every strike was for you. Let's take that bread and remember that this morning. Jesus loves you. He took the cup this morning, and we remember the blood that was shed, the stripes on his back, the thorns on his forehead, the spear in his side. And it represents that your sin, my sin, is completely forgiven through his blood. Let's reflect on that this morning as we take the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you for that demonstration that we remember this morning, Jesus, that you loved us so much. And the Father, you demonstrated that love by sending us your Son to take our place and our punishment, and we thank you for that this morning. You know, there's a quote by A.W. Tozer. It says this: Jesus Christ knows the worst about you. Nonetheless, he is the one who loves you the most. Isn't that a powerful statement? Jesus knows our worst, but yet he loves us more than anyone and anything. Romans 8:35-39 says this, that who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, or if I can ad lib in it here, or COVID-19. Just as it's written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long, and we're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His love for you and his love for me is eternal. It will never, ever change. And you can hold on to that. And you can persevere in your life, and you continue to grow in faith, grow in your love towards God, and grow in your love towards each other because of God's love that is in your heart and in your life. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love. Hey, remember that today, folks. Keep that in your heart. His love will never run out on you. He loves you. Some questions that we could consider as the worship team, you know, sort of takes us back into that place of just expressing our love to God and reminding us of how much God loves us. Is, do I understand the love that God has for me? Do you know his love today? And if you don't, you can. Just call out to him and ask him to show you. Am I growing in my love for people? And what's that going to look like as I move forward in my faith? And finally, am I growing in my love for God? And what's that going to look like as I grow in my faith moving forward from this day on? The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. And may you know the love of God.
God loves you. God loves you. God loves me. God loves us. Sometimes we don't get that because the love we give is broken, but he loves you, and that's great news. And we're called to accept that love, and we're called to give it back to him and to show it to others. Literally, love God, love people. Don't overcomplicate it. Love God, love people. Keep it simple. So church, I just pray that this week you would feel God's love. Lord, would you just fill us with the peace and the love that only you can give us? And in response, would we love others well? Would we love others unselfishly, without holding? God, in a way that would glorify you, would we love others so that it honors you? And we thank you. Thank you for your love. We thank you for your son. We thank you that you are love. In Jesus' mighty, powerful name, amen. Be blessed. Have a great day celebrating love.